Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking at 8 o'clock, we still are looking at some big backups in Garner because of a crash on 40 westbound. I'll tell you which exits you'll want to avoid.
And even at 8 o'clock, our temperatures are cold out there, from freezing to the low 40s. I'll show you how quickly we climb into the 70s, though, this afternoon.
Today, Wake County school leaders will discuss a new policy about hair-based discrimination coming up when this could go into effect.
And we are one day away from learning TikTok's fate in the U.S. The major change lawmakers are forcing the app to avoid being banned across the country. We'll talk about that and so much more today on Tuesday, March 12th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
Yeah, I'm Chris Lovingood. Yeah, I gotta tell him, aren't you? Can I tell him?
You can tell him.
It's her birthday today. It's Michelle McConaughey's birthday today. Happy birthday, Michelle.
Thank you.
Always happy. And you know what? Someone has a gift for you, because Elizabeth Gardner has a beautiful forecast, so you can enjoy your afternoon today.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome. I did this just for you, Michelle. So, you know, happy birthday. I hope your day is great. The weather certainly is cooperating, that's for sure. This is a live look at Warrenson, where we have blue skies. It is on the chilly side this morning in the Triangle. 37. We dropped to 36 a little earlier. It is still 32 right now in Roxboro. It's 33 in Goldsboro, 36 in Southern Pines, 38 in Fayetteville. So widespread chilly temperatures. But because our wind will start to come out of the west-southwest today, we'll see a quick warm-up hitting 60 at lunch time and into the low 70s this afternoon, and it'll be one of those days with that deep blue sky, low humidity, and the pollen hasn't gotten too bad just yet. Now, that may change later this week. I'll show you our pollen forecast for the next several days coming up. Brian. Sorry.
It's my turn.
It's your turn.
8:02 right now as we take a look at traffic. We're still watching these big delays on 40 westbound heading through Garner. That crash you see there on the right shoulder has been out there for quite a while now. We're looking at backups beginning just before you get to the Business 70 interchange. Once you get through Jones Sausage Road, things are looking better heading out toward the 440 interchange. I believe Nick Perlin is there in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, and he's been bringing us live pictures of that backup this morning, and you can see everything's over on the shoulder. We have all those travel lanes open. You also see on Nick's live shot there that looks like another tow truck is on the way to hopefully get all of this cleared up. Need to allow plenty of extra time. We're measuring some significant delays as you come in from the 42 interchange. Try to avoid picking up 40 westbound from 42, the Clayton Bypass, Business 70. That'll get you stuck in traffic. If you can make your way down to 70 Business, to Hammond Road, or to South Saunders Street, you can pick up 40 westbound from there. You're going to get stuck in some of the delays as usual there on the south side of Raleigh, but you'll at least avoid those backups through Garner. Now looking at a 13-minute delay with that live update from the sensors. Coming in from Wake Forest, some congestion on southbound Capitol Boulevard this morning, about a 12-minute backup overall. I've also been watching some delays in Durham on the northbound side of 885 and southbound side, just some congestion between 147 and the I-40 interchange. A little bit of a sun glare delay building now on the south side of Durham with a 5-minute backup on 40 eastbound from 15501 out to 885, and we're picking up some unusual delays on 85 northbound coming in from Hillsboro back toward Durham, working to find out exactly what's causing that. If you're heading out right now, remember you can listen to us on the radio anytime at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham. I'll have another traffic update in just a few minutes.
Thank you, Brian. Following some breaking news, an investigation is underway after fire at a vape and tobacco shop in Cary. This happened just before 11:30 last night at the store on Meeting Street. Crews arrived to heavy smoke coming out of the building and quickly put out the fire. Nobody was hurt. No other businesses were damaged. Investigators are working to figure out what started the fire.
We're also following this story. Police in Raleigh investigating a hit-and-run crash from this morning on Lewisburg Road. It happened near Calvary Jive just before 5 a.m. This is video you're viewing from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Authorities tell us someone was driving a stolen Elantra and then crashed into a car that a pregnant woman was driving. You can see a black car has a lot of damage to its front end right there on your screen. The woman taken to the hospital for a checkup because she was pregnant, as I mentioned, and the second driver, that person took off.
We'll take a look at the response late last night to a fire in downtown Raleigh. The call went out around 10 p.m. from South Blunt Street and East Martin Street. We know a fire truck responded to the scene, was involved in a crash just a few blocks away. The fire took place in an apartment building across from Moore Square Park. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. It shows a fire truck using a ladder to get to the fourth floor of that building. Our crew on scene saw people watching the response from inside the building, meaning it did not have to be evacuated. We are working to learn if anyone was hurt.
Students in Wake County could soon be protected from discrimination based on their hairstyle. Today, Wake County Public School leaders will consider the Crown Act. And WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live from the Wake County School headquarters. Kelsey, other school systems in the area have been talking about this topic too.
Chris, those conversations have been happening in Durham, and now they're happening here in Wake County. Wake County school leaders will be meeting here at the district headquarters later today. Their policy committee will talk about putting the Crown Act on the books. The Crown Act stands for Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair. The law applies for discrimination against any person's hairstyle, but hair-based discrimination is an issue specifically for Black women. Durham Public Schools host an annual celebration, Crown Act Week, to celebrate Black women's natural hair. Hairstylist Lisa Smile says some of her clients experience discrimination from employers about their hair.
We don't want to lose the integrity of our hair just because we need to look a professional way. So I think with this ad, it's going to empower even more women who have been afraid to wear their natural hair to embrace it.
The policy committee may agree to have this move forward to the full board today. If that happens, then it would have to be approved in two separate meetings before becoming policy. That likely won't happen until next month. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Cary.
And breaking news, the White House announced this morning that President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will visit North Carolina together later this month. Biden and Harris will be in the state on Tuesday, March 26th, as part of their re-election campaign. The White House did not share a specific location where they will be visiting.
Mobile sports betting is now legal in North Carolina, and it didn't take long for fans to start betting. Some people placed their first bets during a launch party for Fanatic Sportsbook yesterday. The party happened at Backyard Bistro, that's owned by the Canes, who hosted the party along with Fanatics.
$59, that's how much one employee at St. Augustine's University tells WRAL is left in her bank account after not getting paid again. Employees say they are not able to make rent or buy groceries. According to our reporting, February 9th, that's the last time they were paid. They're now waiting for a check from February 23rd, this past Friday, March 8th as well. One dedicated alumna is inspired to help those at her alma mater.
All alumni chapters for the university is running the 1867 challenge, where you can donate $18.67, which was the year that we're founded, directly to the alumni chapter to help support those fundraising efforts.
And the university is at nearly $225,000 in donations out of its $5 million goal. We've reached out to the university to find out how many employees are still waiting for checks and when they can expect to get them. We are waiting to hear back.
Today, lawmakers in the U.S. House will get a classified briefing on the potential national security threat posed by TikTok. That's ahead of an expected vote tomorrow to possibly ban the app in the U.S. Here's John Lawrence.
Lawmakers in the House are gearing up for a floor vote Wednesday that could potentially prohibit the use of TikTok in the U.S.
TikTok poses a threat to America's security, poses a threat to our children and the future of America.
If the bill gets enacted, TikTok will have about 5 months to break away from ByteDance, its Chinese-linked parent company.
We know that people enjoy the platform. We know small businesses use the platform. But having, you know, the Chinese Communist Party have access to data, have the ability to push messages and push propaganda does put our security at risk.
However, senators from both parties say they'd like some changes to the legislation.
I'm not sure that this is the answer, but if the House passes a bill, look forward to joining that debate and discussion.
Well, I still have concerns about naming a specific company in legislation, but it feels like this House bill has momentum.
TikTok has called this House bill an attack on users' free speech rights, and CEO Soji Chu has been trying to get in contact with U.S. senators, according to a source close to the matter. The ACLU issued a statement saying a potential ban on TikTok would violate the First Amendment rights of millions of Americans.
Tell us, John Lawrence reporting. President Biden said that he supports the bill and will sign it if it passed.
Guns kill more young people in the U.S. than any other cause. The statistics are even worse in North Carolina. Kids are 51% more likely to die from gun violence compared to other states. Our latest WREL doc, Unsafe North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence, shows the devastating impact of gun violence through one family's tragic loss. 8-year-old Genesis Dockery died 4 days before her 9th birthday. Her family said she was shot by her babysitter's 11-year-old son. Unsafe will also explore a proven solution to stopping these types of tragedies with bipartisan support among lawmakers. You can watch our documentary, Unsafe, North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence, tomorrow night at 7:30 on WREL or WRELDoc.com.
Haiti's prime minister is stepping down. We will explain how the rise in the country's gang violence is prompting a shift in leadership.
And a scare mid-flight for passengers on a Latin airline. Coming up, the number of passengers still recovering from the rough experience on board.
And beautiful day ahead. Lots of sunshine. It's been a cold start this morning, but we climbed to 71 this afternoon. Warm temperatures all the way through the weekend, but we do have some showers and storms in our forecast for Friday and Sunday. I'll walk you through the timeline.
Welcome back on your Tuesday morning, your beautiful sunny Tuesday morning. This is a live look over North Hills. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Starting off your Tuesday morning, much like yesterday, it's chilly out there, but it's going to turn out to be a beautiful day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look around town.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous out there. We're taking a look at Goldsboro with lots of sunshine and Apex as well. Been lots of people up and down Salem Street, even though temperatures are cold this morning. It's not stopping anybody from enjoying the sunshine. A live look at Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course right there, our newsroom in Fayetteville. Let's jump ahead and take a look at the weekend. We're going to see much warmer than normal temperatures between now and Friday. But Friday afternoon, our first cold front of the weekend arrives with a chance of some isolated thunderstorms late in the day and a small chance for some severe storms, possibly. We're just sort of watching for that possibility. On Saturday, we're going to be in between systems. I'm hoping that we'll end up with some sunshine peeking through, but definitely the potential for some clouds on and off. But it looks mainly dry on Saturday, which is great news for any plans you have. And then on Sunday, another front comes through, which will bring us a decent chance of some showers. The first front that arrives on Friday is still way back here, coming on shore just off of the Pacific, moving inland. And of course, it arrives here on Friday. There's a look at it when it's a little closer to us. So some scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, kind of watching to see if we're going to end up with a severe threat here. The timing will be late afternoon into the evening. We check out Futurecast and again, should stay dry for most of the day. But right about the evening commute, we start to see some of that rain rolling in and it's with us up until around midnight or so. Here's Saturday, again, looking dry, but with some cloud cover on and off. And Futurecast shows just this little bit of, this is a new version. Actually, a little bit of rain as early as Sunday morning, but there's Sunday at 5 p.m. This version of Futurecast is a bit drier than the last one, so looking at maybe just some isolated showers and a chance of some storms closer to the coast. Our chances for rain on Friday, about 40%. We left that 20% in on Saturday, just in case some of that rain lingers into early Saturday morning. Saturday, the St. Patrick's Day Parade kicks off at 10 a.m., and our Jeff Hogan is the Grand Marshal. Weather looks pretty good for that. Partly to mostly cloudy, 64 degrees, maybe a little bit breezy, but temperatures on Saturday for the high in the afternoon, 73. So at least we'll get that day. And then a chance of some scattered showers on Sunday into Monday. But these temperatures are well above normal. Almost 80 degrees on Thursday, 78 on Friday. Our record highs this time of year are in the low 80s. So we're close to records. We probably won't hit any of those this week. Brian?
It is 8:17 right now, and we still have that crash in Garner on 40 westbound, just beyond the Jones Sausage Road interchange. Everything's over on the right shoulder, so all travel lanes remain open. But a reminder, when you see those flashing lights like that, you need to move over at least one lane, or in a congested situation like that, you just need to slow down and be extra careful. That is state law in North Carolina. Let's take a look at the extent of those delays on 40 westbound. They begin right around Business 70 and continue up toward that 440 split, about an 8-minute backup overall. Coming in from Apex through Cary on US 1 northbound, about a 6-minute delay from 55 up to I-40, measuring about a 10-minute backup now on the southbound side of I-87, heading through Knightdale back toward Raleigh, and out of Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard, about a 10-minute backup from 98 down to 540. We're also just getting reports of a crash at Six Forks Road at Honeycutt Road, and also at Forestville Road at Rogers Road there near Wake Forest. Want to head over to Orange County, check in on 85 at US 70. This is in the Eno community between Hillsborough and Durham. We've been watching a little bit of congestion out there on the northbound side of 85. About a 4-minute delay overall. Looks like it is mostly because of sun glare backups. Not seeing any crashes causing those slowdowns.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRL Live Center. Cumberland County deputies making an arrest in a sexual assault case that we've been following all morning. This is the man now in custody, 38-year-old Damon Watts. He's facing a number of charges, including first-degree forcible rape and kidnapping. Take a look at the video from which we're talking about. Two reported sexual assaults happened, one on March 6th. Another one happened on March 10th. Both victims say they were offered a ride by Damon Watts from School Street and Eastern Boulevard, but instead he drove them to the cemetery on Gillespie Street, and that's where the assaults happened. Watts is currently being held in the Wake County Detention Center without bond. He is scheduled to be in court around 9 o'clock this morning. We will be there. Look for updates on this story in our news later on.
Significant update. Thank you, Ken. Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry has agreed to resign as gang violence in the island nation's capital gets worse. He released a statement marking that announcement just around 1:30 this morning. He says he will resign once a transitional presidential council is created. Henry has been on U.S. soil since last week, forced to land in Puerto Rico after he was unable to land in Haiti due to threats at the airport. Haiti is under a state of emergency until April 3rd, and the threat of violent clashes is gripping thousands of people there, leaving behind security and healthcare systems that are rapidly deteriorating. The head of mission for Doctors Without Borders in Haiti worries about the continued supply of medicines to that nation.
Our main fear is about the supply. So as there are the ports, as the airport are closed, it's impossible to bring in some medicines. And that's our worry for the moment.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken traveled to Jamaica yesterday to speak about the U.S.'s continued support in humanitarian assistance. He announced the U.S. will contribute $300 million to the multinational security mission to Haiti. It's unclear when the security mission will be deployed, though.
More trouble in the skies for United Airlines as a flight from Australia to San Francisco was forced to make an emergency landing. On Monday, the airline issued a statement saying Flight 830 from Sydney's airport to San Francisco had to return to Sydney because of maintenance issues. Officials say the Boeing 777 jet was about 2 hours into the flight when they believe the hydraulic system failed. This is United's fifth reported incident in a week.
One day after a turbulent flight from Sydney, Australia to Auckland, New Zealand, we are hearing from passengers who experienced the intense moments there. We want to show you some new images from inside the LATAM Airlines plane shortly after passengers say the airline just suddenly dropped for a few seconds, tossing people about the cabin. At least 50 of the more than 200 passengers on board the airplane had to be treated for injuries, and some of them had to go to the hospital when the plane landed safely. Four people are still in the hospital at last check, and some passengers describe the scene as frightening and chaotic.
The girl in front of my girlfriend, she was pretty much on the roof of the cabin. The girl next to me hit her head on the cabin.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, and it felt like, you know, when you are in a roller coaster and you just go like this, that sensation. And then everything flew up, went down, and it was like very shocking, very shocking.
Sounds jarring. This happened about 2 hours into a three-hour flight, and the airline would only say the aircraft experienced strong movement after a technical problem. LATAM Airlines, based in Chile, is now going over flight data recorders to try to figure out what happened.
Reddit is getting ready to go public. The company expects to price shares between $31 and $34 when it makes its initial public offering. That's expected to happen later this month. The announcement gives potential investors additional information to figure out if they want to buy stock in the company. Reddit plans to offer 22 million shares that will help it raise nearly $750 million. Airbnb is banning indoor security cameras on April 30th. The company says it's to protect renters' privacy. Cameras used to be allowed in common areas like hallways and living rooms. Hosts had to say in the listing that they had indoor cameras and make them clearly visible. The new rule does not allow them at all. It comes after numerous reports of renters finding hidden cameras. The new policy still allows outside cameras, but hosts have to disclose their use and locations before guests book a listing.
Men's college basketball is heating up as the ACC tournament gets underway today. Just ahead, we'll break down what team matchups from the Triangle you can look forward to this week.
Get into your car, tuned to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Brian Schrader tracking some heavy traffic backups on I-40 westbound in Garner. Brian.
The good news, Michelle, is that earlier crash has been cleared from the right shoulder of 40 westbound just beyond the Jones Sausage Road interchange. But we're still seeing some very heavy delays as you come in from Johnston County. Those backups begin right around Business 70 and extend through the Jones Sausage Road interchange. And once you get through that, you're going to run into some heavy backups on the south side of Raleigh on 40 westbound. Also seeing some unusual heavy delays on 440 eastbound from around Western Boulevard all the way out toward Lake Boone Trail. We're going to get some details about that. A 9-minute backup right now on the southbound side of Capitol Boulevard coming in from Wake Forest. And as you head in from the Chapel Hill area into South Durham on 40 eastbound, heavy sun glare delays this morning, adding quite a bit to that overall commute to I-885, Elizabeth.
It looks beautiful out there. Lots of sunshine. We take a live look at Apex and you can see how pretty it is. I've seen so many people out up and down Salem Street walking and running this morning. Even though it's been chilly, still chilly out there. It's 33 in Irwin, 37 in Tarboro, 32 now in Lewisburg. But our wind shifting to west-southwest today is really going to warm things up fast. We should see 60 degrees by lunchtime, and we'll be in the low 70s. The rest of this week looks nice and mild, but we're potentially going to see some rain for Friday and Sunday. We'll talk more about that on Fox 50.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Today, Wake County Public School leaders will consider a policy that protects people against discrimination based on hairstyles. The policy committee will meet to discuss plans to implement the Crown Act later today. An approval for the policy likely won't happen until next month. Next on Fox 50, the trade the Panthers made to receive second and fifth round picks in the draft. And up next on Today, Jimmy Fallon live in studio for a game of Password.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8:30. I'm tracking a crash on the Beltline and some big delays in West Raleigh. I'll show you which exits you want to avoid.
And most of our towns on the map are in the mid to upper 30s here at 8:30 in the morning. But I'll show you why we'll likely hit 70 this afternoon.
And students in Wake County schools could soon be protected from being treated differently because of their hair. The policy district leaders are considering that will create a safe space for children with natural hair.
And today is the first day of the ACC men's basketball tournament. WRAL's Casey Hintz gives us a look at how NC State is preparing for the first round. She is in Washington, D.C. We will get to her coming up. But thanks for joining us on your Tuesday morning. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Chris Lovinggood. I tell you what, even behind us at Dix Park, I mean, it looks beautiful to start your morning out there. We've got meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner right now with another look over at Zebulon. So beautiful skies out.
Yeah, gorgeous blue sky. Of course, no humidity for it today. And the pollen is medium. It's likely to get a lot higher later in the week. We don't have any mosquitoes out there just yet. So now it's just a really sweet spot in our months that to come. 37 is our temperature at RDU. Our wind is fairly calm and, of course, looking beautiful there in Zebulon at their town hall. It's 34 in Roxborough, but 45 in South Hill, 38 in Fayetteville, 36 in Clinton. It's 36 in Southern Pine. So it is chilly out there. But our winds will be shifting to west-southwest today, and that's going to help to warm things up. We should hit 60 at lunchtime, and we'll see highs in the low 70s for this afternoon. We'll be in the upper 70s in a couple of days in this pattern, but we also have the potential for some rain for Friday and Sunday. I'll show you the timeline coming up, Brian.
It is 8:32 right now, Elizabeth, and we're going to take you live to the Beltline here at 440 and Lake Boone Trail. There's a report of a crash there at that interchange. A little while ago, we saw traffic just crawling through this area, but here with the most recent update of the information we're getting, it looks like they may have cleared that crash or at least moved it over to the right shoulder. Traffic certainly is flowing a lot more freely right around the Lake Boone Trail area. Sensors still are showing some heavy delays on 440 eastbound this morning, beginning right around Western Boulevard through Hillsborough and Wade. Once you get to Lake Boone Trail, traffic is flowing freely. So if you can pick up 440 eastbound from Lake Boone or Glenwood, you'll be on the other side of those delays. Again, it looks like it's cleared now, so we should start to see things getting a little closer to normal on that section of the Beltline in Raleigh. Let's take a look at some of those other major approaches into Raleigh. Good news in Garner, those earlier backups on 40 westbound because of that crash right around Jones Sausage Road have cleared up largely, just about a two-minute delay showing up right now. Still measuring about a five-minute delay coming in from Apex through Cary on US 1 northbound, pretty typical for this point in the morning commute, and about a nine-minute delay on southbound Capitol Boulevard heading out of Wake Forest toward 540. We've also been watching some sun glare delays this morning through South Durham. That's 40 at Fayetteville Road, eastbound traffic heading toward the left side of your screen there. And we're measuring about a four-minute slowdown overall from 15501 out to 885. Not really seeing big backups just yet on that ride from the airport toward Cary.
All right, thanks, Brian. WREL is trying to learn more about a fire at a vape and tobacco shop in Cary. This happened just before 11:30 last night at the store on Meeting Street. Crews arrived to heavy smoke coming from the building and quickly put out the flames. Now, no one was hurt and no other businesses were damaged in this.
And more breaking news. Police in Raleigh are investigating a hit-and-run crash that happened early this morning on Lewisburg Road. It happened near Calvary Drive just before 5 o'clock this morning. This is video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker. Police tell us someone was driving a stolen Elantra and crashed into a car. A pregnant woman was driving. You can see that black car has a lot of damage to its front end. The woman was taken to the hospital for a checkup because she's pregnant. The second driver fled the scene.
Why don't you look at your screen? This is a look at last night's response to a fire call in downtown Raleigh. The call went out around 10 p.m. from South Blount Street and East Martin Street. Authorities have told WREL a fire truck responding to the scene was involved in a crash just a few blocks away, and the fire happened at an apartment building across from Moore Square Park. This video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker shows a fire truck using a ladder to get to the fourth floor of that building. Our crew on the scene saw people watching the response from inside the building, so it didn't look like it had to be evacuated, and we are working to learn if anyone was injured.
Students in Wake County could soon be protected from discrimination based on their hairstyle. Today, Wake County Public Schools leaders will consider the Crown Act. As WREL's Kelsey Coffey explains, other school districts have been discussing this topic.
Wake County school leaders will meet here at the district headquarters later today. Their policy committee will talk about putting the Crown Act on the books. The Crown Act stands for Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair. The law applies for discrimination against any person's hairstyle, but hair-based discrimination is an issue specifically for black women. Durham Public Schools host an annual celebration, Crown Act Week, to celebrate black women's natural hair. Hairstylist Lisa Smile says some of her clients experience discrimination from employers about their hair.
We don't want to lose the integrity of our hair just because we need to look a professional way. So I think with this ad, it's going to empower even more women who have been afraid to wear their natural hair to embrace it.
The policy committee may agree to move this forward to the full board. From there, it would have to be approved in two separate meetings before becoming policy. That likely won't happen until next month. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Cary.
Breaking news into the WREL newsroom. Within the past 15 minutes, authorities in Cumberland County have made an arrest after reports of sexual assault at Fayetteville Memorial Cemetery. That's on Gillespie Street. In a half hour, the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office announced the arrest of Damon Watts. He is facing charges of forcible rape, kidnapping, assault, and larceny. He's expected to be in court this afternoon. The first sexual assault was reported last Wednesday, and the second one was reported this past Sunday. Both victims say they were offered a ride by a man from School Street and the Eastern Boulevard area. They were instead driven to the cemetery and assaulted.
It is now legal to place mobile sports bets in North Carolina. It didn't take long for the wagers to start rolling in either. Some decided to place their bets during a launch party for Fanatics Sportsbook yesterday. Fanatics and the Canes hosted a party at Backyard Bistro. Some fans believe sports betting will make the games more interesting.
I think it's going to be a lot busier, and there's going to be a lot more excitement at the games when people are pulling and being able to bet, like, in the arena.
Even the governor is placing his bets. Roy Cooper posted this video betting on the Canes to win the Stanley Cup.
Today, friends and family will say their final goodbyes to the retired Raleigh police sergeant killed in a crash. A visitation for Sergeant Kenneth Hopkins starts at 11 o'clock at World Overcomers Church in Durham. Funeral services start at noon. A car hit and killed Hopkins on I-540 earlier this month. He was trying to rehitch a trailer at the time.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we want to give you this live look at the news conference that's just getting underway there in Virginia. The Army is about to discuss the upcoming deployment of the 7th Transportation Brigade based in Newport News. Now, the troops will be providing humanitarian aid to residents of Gaza from that floating dock that President Biden mentioned in his State of the Union address. Another vessel deployed over the weekend to start building that floating dock in Gaza that will be dedicated to providing food and supplies to the people of Gaza. Again, this is a news conference just getting underway there in Newport News, the 7th Transportation Brigade heading to Gaza. And we'll continue to monitor this for any new developments.
Thanks, Ken. Michael Whatley, the newly elected Republican National Committee chairman, is stepping down as North Carolina's Republican Party chairman. It comes as the RNC began laying off dozens of staffers yesterday. The layoffs, first reported by Politico, come as the team picked by former President Donald Trump took over control of the RNC. Staff turnover often happens when the party has a presumptive presidential nominee, but reports say these cuts are larger than usual and affect several departments. Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, was appointed as RNC co-chair. The school calendar for Johnston County schools could look different soon. The school board is slated to vote on the calendar today. They'll consider the district's first year-round calendar and a condensed calendar meant to allow exams to be completed before Christmas. Community feedback is expected to be considered in these discussions. The meeting starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
The Powerball jackpot continues to climb this morning. No one matched all the numbers in last night's drawing. That means the top prize tomorrow night is $559 million. Last night's winning numbers were 1, 3, 7, 16, and 66. The Powerball was 5, and the Power Play was 5 as well.
And the jackpot for the Mega Millions drawing is all the way up to $735 million. That drawing is tonight at 11. As always, you can watch both drawings live on WREL.
The Panthers will be missing a key defensive piece next season. The team traded star Brian Burns to the New York Giants. The Panthers are receiving a second and a fifth round pick in exchange for Burns. Former Panthers general manager Scott Fitterer turned down a trade request for Burns over a year ago that would have seen the Panthers get two first-round picks in exchange. The Giants have reportedly agreed to a five-year deal worth $150 million. Changes are coming to Kobe Bryant's statue, the three mistakes that fans are noticing nearly a month after his statue was unveiled.
And the 2024 award season is not over yet. A look at some of the early winners from this year's NAACP Image Awards.
And as we had to break, here's a look at Wrightsville. It's live. The camera's panning just a little bit. It's about excited for the beautiful day outside. Can't say I blame it. WREL meteorologist Elizabeth Garner tells us just about the warm weather we're going to get this week. We just keep on giving you a tour at our live camera network. You are looking live at Franklinton. Pretty quiet out there on the streets, but still a beautiful way to start the day. As you can see, the sky is there in the top part of the screen. We got other cameras we're showing you as well. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner right now, right in front of Fenton and Cary. A beautiful day there as well.
Gorgeous here. Lots of blue sky and the lawn chairs out there on the lawn. You know, it's going to be a great day to get outside. You know, you soak up the sun however you can today. It is cold out there right now, though, so it's going to be a day for layers. Coat this morning and then, you know, not a coat this afternoon. 37 is our temperature at RDU. We should end up climbing up to around 60 at lunchtime and then by the middle of the afternoon into the 70s. Our temperatures are cool, but beginning to warm up a little bit. It's 41 now in Goldsboro, and 46 in South Hill. But we're still looking at 34 in Roxboro, 36 in Southern Pines, 38 in Fayetteville and Clinton. So it is it's chilly out there. We won't have very much wind to deal with today. And with a southwesterly flow, we should warm up nicely. 71 in Raleigh, 70 in Durham, and 73 in Fayetteville. All that sunshine will help along with that shift in our winds. Our normal high is 62, so we're well above that all the way into the weekend. 79 on Thursday. Thursday, if you really want to soak in some warm weather, Thursday is going to be the day. Friday will stay mostly dry during the day, but we do have some showers and storms that'll roll through later on. Our meteorological spring typically looks like this. By April 1st, we're in the upper 60s and upper 70s by May 15th. But it's also equally normal for us to see big ups and downs in our temperature. It doesn't always just stair step up like that. It's more of a roller coaster, and we're definitely on the upside of the roller coaster. Next week looks like we'll be on the downside. It's pretty out there right now. Looks like spring. This is a look from our WRL gardens with the tulips in bloom out there. Our pollen count so far has mostly been medium for the last few weeks, but it does look like with these very warm temperatures that we'll likely end up with high tree pollen as we get into tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Now, by Saturday, that may drop off a little bit as we'll see some rain on Friday and then on Sunday, so it may fall a bit. But any minute, we're going to end up seeing that yellow pine pollen. It usually starts to develop during the month of March. So with these warm temperatures, it's probably going to start to kick that off. It is cooler next week, most likely below normal temperatures for much of the East Coast. Our temperature, of course, today, 71, 79 Thursday. Friday, late afternoon into the evening, we'll likely have a round of some showers and thunderstorms. Right now, Saturday looks partly cloudy, 73. And then on Sunday for St. Patrick's Day, we're looking at the chance of some showers that could continue into Monday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. The Boeing whistleblower who had raised concerns on the company's production standards has been found dead. 62-year-old John Barnett died on Saturday from what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. That's according to officials. Barnett worked for Boeing for 32 years until he retired in 2017. He filed a whistleblower complaint against Boeing the same year, and his case was up for trial this June. According to a BBC report, he had been giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company days before his death. He had been scheduled to appear in court again on Saturday, but never showed up.
The organization PETA is renewing its push to end dog races after two dogs died during an Alaskan sled dog race. Sled dogs Bog and George both collapsed and died during the annual Iditarod race over the weekend. It's a 1,000-mile race where mushers and the dogs sled throughout mountain ranges, frozen rivers, and a sea of ice, often during dangerous weather. These are the first deaths reported in 5 years. 13 other dogs were either hurt or died during training in the months leading up to the race. But the cause of the death has not been determined just yet.
After losing their last four games of the regular season, NC State needs to win the ACC tournament to make it to the big dance. But before they get to Saturday, they have to get through today. WRL's Casey Hintz reports from our nation's capital.
Just go 1-0. Hey, good morning, everyone. Casey Hintz inside Capital One Arena this morning. We're later this afternoon. 10-seed NC State will take on 15-seed Louisville to open what the Pac hope is a very long, deep run in this ACC tournament. Of course, as we know, that's the only way the Pac would get into the NCAA tournament. But I spoke to some of the guys yesterday, and they're not even thinking about that right now. They are locked into tonight's game, and really, that's all they can do. Now, veteran Casey Morcell told me they like their chances going up against teams maybe for a second time. He said, but really, we're looking at this as a fresh start, and that's what's got us excited.
You know, being able to have the opportunity to play early, you know, have an opportunity to get this momentum going. I'm heading into the tournament, and you know, that's all we could do. Just focus on being 1-0. That's the mindset.
I mean, we have nothing to lose, nothing at all to lose. Just been telling the guys that, you know, anything is possible going into these tournaments. You know, March is crazy. I know you see it every year. You see the March Madness stuff posted on all the Twitter pages and stuff like that. So, you know, anything is possible, and, you know, why not us?
Now, this was a good sight. We saw DJ Horn putting up some shots yesterday. He left Saturday's game with a lower body injury. Head coach Kevin Keats says he's a game-time decision. But as for Horn himself, he says he's feeling much better than he did on Saturday. He's been attacking treatment, and he's not done yet. We're going to have highlights and reaction from tonight's game coming up tonight on Fox 50 and WREL. But for now, Casey Hintz, WREL Sports, Washington, D.C.
And Casey will have live reports from Washington, D.C. all week from the ACC tournament. WREL is your home for college basketball coverage in March.
College basketball fans, Buffalo Wild Wings is giving you a chance to win free wings for a year and tickets to next year's NCAA tournament. The restaurant is holding a Beat the Buffalo contest during March Madness. Fans can enter their brackets to see if they will be better than Jack and actual Buffalo. Jack's brackets for the men's and women's tournaments will be released on March 19th. Fans will have until March 21st to submit. People with the top scores will win free wings and tickets to next year's tournament. Brackets can be submitted at beatthebuffalo.com.
It's been a month since Kobe Bryant's statue was unveiled in Los Angeles, and now fans are calling out some spelling mistakes. The statue is inspired by the pose from Kobe's 81-point game in 2006 against Toronto. The official scorer's report is on the side of the statue, but former Toronto guard Jose Calderon is listed as Jose Calderson, and former Laker Von Wafer is listed as Vom Wafer. Decision is also spelled incorrectly. In a statement, the Lakers said they're aware of the mistakes and are planning to get them fixed soon.
An apology for an Oscars night reaction and a sequel that has been decades in the making. Here's David Daniel with the Hollywood Minute.
These go to 11.
40 years after the classic mockumentary This Is Spinal Tap hit theaters, filming has begun in New Orleans on the sequel. The plot involves England's loudest band reuniting for one final concert. Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, and director Rob Reiner return. Planned celebrity cameos include Trisha Yearwood, Garth Brooks, Questlove, Elton John, and Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I wrote in my diary that I am Miles Morales, I am Spider-Man.
Shameik Moore was sorry his film did not win an Oscar. Now he's sorry about how he reacted. Moore voices the main character in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which was up for Best Animated Feature Film. When The Boy and the Heron won, Moore posted on social media, "Robbed." After commenters reminded him Heron was made by Japanese legend Hayao Miyazaki, Moore apologized, posting, "I'm definitely a sore loser. I'm young and a fighter, so forgive my nature. Congrats to the winners."
Barbie and Best Picture winner Oppenheimer helped to boost the number of viewers for the 96th Academy Awards to the highest rating in 4 years. According to Nielsen data, this year's Oscars had 19.5 million viewers. That's a 4% jump over last year. The strategy by the Academy to go with an earlier start time this year on the first day of daylight saving time seems to have worked. More people stayed up and watched until the end.
Al Pacino is clearing the air after one of the more awkward moments, some are calling, of Sunday night's Oscar awards. Pacino presented the award for Best Picture, but instead of listing any of the nominees, he opened the envelope and said, "My eyes see Oppenheimer." Pacino issued a statement saying the producers planned for him to present it this way, and he was just following their directions.
We are getting a look at some of the early winners of the 55th annual NAACP Image Awards. Victoria Monet, nominated 6 times, won Outstanding New Artist and Outstanding Album for Jaguar 2. Usher won for Outstanding Male Artist. The Female Artist went to Her. The Color Purple was nominated 16 times and won for Outstanding Soundtrack or Compilation Album. Queen Latifah will return to host Saturday Night Live broadcast after emceeing the ceremony last year. Police in Roswell, New Mexico, the city known for an alleged UFO crash, have a new patch complete with alien images. The patch will be worn on the shoulders of officers' uniforms. It most notably features a pair of small alien faces and a flying saucer, which represents the community's long association with the UFO folklore. The design was selected from a number of employee submissions.
Truth is out there. Before we go to break, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.